All right, this is the Willing to Go Ham podcast, guys. Coming at you guys live from Mikasa in an undisclosed location. And you know, the cool thing is I did something. It was an executive decision that I had to make. And I think that a lot of people should follow suit going into 2024. This is more so a message to my fellow brothers and sisters out there, my fellow African-Americans. Change your smoke alarm. Change your fucking smoke alarm. I'm telling you, man, I thought it was just me, but no. You got to change your smoke alarm, man. That beeping, it's, I don't know. It's almost like it's a personality, man. It's really changes things when your apartment is just super quiet. And I just changed mine the other day, and what a game changer. When I'm trying to study, cleaning, whatever, it's awesome. Anyways, so, yeah, you guys know what it is with this podcast. I talk a lot about sports, crazy news stories, things like that. I give my take, and I've been a little bit behind. There's other things I've been caught up in with work and stuff like that. So when I have a little bit of time, which is late at night, when I do, actually, that's when I do my best work. My mind just goes on. So, we're going to start off, we're going to talk high school football. Talk about that, actually. And congratulations to the Liberty North Eagles, man. They won their first Class 6 state title in the first, and I think it's in Liberty history, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I think, did Liberty win a state championship in football? I don't think so. I know in basketball they did, but yeah, that's huge, man. So shout out to them, dude. That's a hell of a team. Hell of a team. And I like the fact that they managed to beat CBC. CBC was like the boogeyman of high school football, man. Like that was just a team, and they're great. I mean, they're awesome. But man, they've been a thorn in the side of Liberty North for the past two seasons, man. They managed to overcome. And it's awesome seeing these young men, man, bring a state championship back to Liberty. I think that's awesome. I think that's great. Great for the Northland. And they're going to be a force to be reckoned with for the next, I don't know how long, but they're going to be a force, man. Like, that's going to be the team to beat for a long time. And, you know, and Andy Learman, Coach Learman, man, hell of a coach, hell of a family man. I remember growing up, you know, I remember he was my coach, not my coach specifically, but I remember he was one of the coaches that I looked up to in terms of the way that he would motivate his players, man, to just motivate us as a team, you know, in the weight room. You know, I remember those. This was, oh man, this is a long time ago, but to see where he's come from as a D-line coach, then defensive coordinator, and now head coach, I couldn't think of a guy who's more deserving of a state title. And obviously it took a lot of perseverance, I'm sure, but he's the right guy for the job, and he deserves it 100%. So, by the way, what a beatdown. And they even started, I've never seen this in a state championship game before, at least in the Midwest. But like, there's what they should do next year. I'm not sure what they're going to do for the Suburban, Red Suburban? I think it's Suburban Red, Gold, and Silver, right? They should, in my opinion, what I would like to see for some of these high schools in Class 6, even in Class 5, they should have it to where, like, I want to see Kansas schools go up against, like, Missouri schools. I would like to see that. That's something, like, I want to see a Bishop Miege, and maybe it's happened before, but I would like to see a Bishop Miege go up against the Rockhurst. I think that'd be fun. I would like to see Liberty North against, like, Blue Valley Northwest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see that. That would be a lot of fun. So, if there's going to be ever, like, a crosstown exhibition game, they should do that. Because I think North has this on lock for many years. Their players are just too good, man. They're too good. They're too well coached. And I think they're just going to continue to, you know, divide, supply, and multiply, and get better and better and better each and every year. So, huge shout out to them. Now, We're going to talk about this college football ranking real quick and how it's got everybody upset, man. It's got a lot of people upset. So the scenario this season, a lot of the storylines, a lot of front-running, things like that. Alabama looked for a while. It looked like the Alabama wasn't going to make it, man, after they had their loss. I think, was it to Ole Miss? I want to say it was Ole Miss. So they obviously, you know, and this isn't the same Bama team that, I don't know, like Georgia and Bama, a lot of the SEC teams this year just don't look dominant, man. Like they can win, but I remember Bama would blow you out at halftime, man. There were just too many NFL prospects. This season, I don't really see it. I don't really see a lot of talent disparity. I think Alabama's kind of come down to earth. So is Georgia, you know. I haven't really had a time to, like, sit down and, like, watch film and look at certain prospects. But Bama doesn't really jump off the board. Neither does Georgia. But anyways, both of those teams lost, right? And Florida State has continued to keep chugging along even after missing their Heisman candidate quarterback, Jordan Travis is his name. So they miss him. Washington continue to keep winning. Like, Washington's doing really good this year. I'll give them that, man. They have a guy in Michael Penix. And if you guys don't know who Michael Penix Jr. is, he went to Indiana and tore his ACL. And I think he tore both his ACLs or tore both knees. And he managed to come back and persevere. And now he's a Heisman finalist. I think he's going to win the Heisman this year. He should win the Heisman this year. I mean, he beat Oregon twice. I mean, they're undefeated right now. And but right now, the four teams that are in, I'm going on a tangent here. The four teams that are in right now, you have Michigan at number one, Washington number two, Texas number three, and Alabama number four. The problem is that two of the teams that are in the top four both have one loss. Florida State is undefeated right now. And the committee made this decision. And now Florida State is number five, which is why I think it's going to be so much sweeter. And I wish it could have happened this season, but it hasn't. Bama leapfrogged Florida State. And they are now number five. And everyone's like, well, how the hell can this happen? Florida State's undefeated. Da, 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 da. And I think I agree with the committee in that these are arguably the best four teams. Like, what is Florida State really going to do if they make it to the college football playoffs? Like, the top three teams are there. So let's say, for instance, if Florida State does go to if they stay at four, if they did that, that would mean they'd have to face off against Washington. Washington will smack them, dude. Like, there's no way that they would win. And even if they did beat Washington, they're not going to beat Michigan or Texas. Because what it's looking like right now is you have Michigan, Texas, Washington, Alabama. And I think Alabama's probably going to smack Washington. What I'm saying, though, is that I think the committee doesn't want another debacle of a championship game and matchup like we had a few years ago when I think it was TCU and Georgia, TCU and Georgia, and that just wasn't that was not what we signed up for. The matchup, it was just it looked like you had two teams that were playing two different games, man, and we don't want to see that again. So I think the committee made the right decision. Everyone's basing this off of Florida State and their undefeated record. They struggled against Louisville. I think Louisville was like 16 at the time. They struggled against Louisville and beat them by like less than 8 points, I want to say. Wasn't even close. And I think even with Jordan Travis, they still wouldn't be able to hang, man. Like, Jordan Travis is a baller, don't get me wrong. But no, man, they're not, no. That's bad for ratings, really bad for ratings. And plus, Alabama, I believe Bama was number six. They were number six or number five. They were able to knock off Georgia, who was number two in the country. So to me, they'd be different if Bam was like number 10, right? But you got to put them in. You got to put them in. And Deion Sanders made a comment. I think he said something along the lines of, you know, what's college football without the Godfather? And there's some truth to that. I think Alabama makes things a lot more interesting, not as predictable. Now, keep in mind, this isn't the same. I think this is the first time Bama's been to the playoffs and they weren't number one. This isn't, you know, your mom and pops or even my Alabama that I remember. Not the same Bama team, man, because Georgia's been taking over. They have their little dynasty going, but they make things interesting. So I think Washington, and I'm totally rooting for Washington. I want to see Michael Penix get the Heisman. But they're killing it, man. And looking at the top 25 teams, you have Florida State at number 5, Georgia number 6, Ohio State. I believe Ohio State and is it Mizzou that play each other? If I'm not mistaken, I want to say it's Mizzou and Ohio State. Actually, let me look real quick. Let's see here. Yeah, it's a Cotton Bowl. And Mizzou did a hell of a job this year, too. They're awesome. They're great. They're not a joke. You know, and I think they can hold their own in the SEC for years to come, but we'll see. Penn State at number 10, Ole Miss number 11, OU number 12, LSU is number 13. And Jaden Daniels should get a mention for the Heisman as well. I saw him play live, and he's good. Arizona, number 14, Louisville 15, Notre Dame 16, Iowa 17, NC State. They've kind of been quiet this year, but they've been killing it. Number 18, number 19 is Oregon State, OSU or Oklahoma State. Number 20, Tennessee 21, Clemson 22, Liberty. Number 23, SMU 24, and K-State at 25. Sounds like a pretty good matchup or a good, you know, slated college football rankings, I would say so. I think, I like it. I like it a lot. So, who do I think is going to win it all? I want Washington, but Michigan's been playing pretty pissed off, man. And contrary to popular belief, I really think that guy, what's his name, J.J. McCarthy, he'll do enough to not fuck up, you know, to fuck up in games. I will say that. Texas has Quinn Ewers. I like Quinn Ewers a lot. This is going to be a really good draft class for quarterbacks, by the way, if you guys don't know. Let me get these. You got these 2024 draft prospects. Hold on. Let me look this up real quick. Yeah, man, this is a great, great class for quarterbacks, dude. And, because you got guys like actually you have top, I believe it's 10. 10 quarterbacks who could go in who are going to be something. Now, I didn't know that Jalen Milroe was a senior, or is he a junior? I can't remember. But I guess he's eligible for the draft this year. But I like it. I like what I'm seeing right now. They're saying that Shedeur Sanders is going to go. I don't think he should. You got Michael Penix. You got J.J. McCarthy. Bo Nix. Drake May. Jaden Daniels. And you have Caleb Williams, a.k.a. Pat Mahomes Jr., right? I think that's why he cut his hair, honestly, because he looked a lot like Pat Mahomes. At least that's what the white announcers thought. But I think Drake May is going to be the best quarterback in this draft class. I think so. We're talking a guy that's 6'4", 220, you know, pretty good athlete, super talented athlete, strong arm, great anticipation. Like to see it, man. I like that. I like him a lot, actually. But, you know, you still got Caleb Williams out of USC. So we'll see. We'll see. This is going to be a good year, a good season for drafting a QB. I know I said that before, but I'm trying to reiterate something. When I think about the teams that need a quarterback, just off the top of my head, we're talking like, I would say, Las Vegas. They need a new quarterback. Patriots need a new quarterback. Let's see. We've got the NFC North. Well, let me think. I don't know if the Bears do. I don't know. I can't really think if the Bears would need one. Vikings, I think they need a quarterback. They're gonna, you know, and a lot of these guys might not go in the top in the first round. I could see Drake May, Caleb Williams, Michael Penix. I could see that. Washington, maybe they might need a new quarterback. Who knows? The Giants definitely need a new quarterback. Let me think. Let me think. Maybe not Cleveland. They still got Deshaun Watson. NFC. You know what? The Falcons, they would probably need a new quarterback. Buccaneers need a new quarterback. Yeah, so it's gonna be a good class for QBs for sure. I don't know much about the other positions, so. But yeah, let's talk. We're gonna talk some Eagles football now on this next segment. I saw this bullshit at it. I had to talk about it. So I happened to catch this clip. I think I believe it was on Twitter. And a lot of people are up in arms about it, and I think a lot of people are reading a little too much into it. So David Carr, brother of Derek Carr, made a comment about Jalen Hurts and about how basically his struggles, because he's been struggling so much, he deserves to be benched, and Marcus Mariota, the Eagles' backup, should play because he thinks that he would be much better suited for the Eagles' offense and stuff like that, which I think is ridiculous, but let's just go through the clip.
I think the only way that they get there, to Imrob's point, is Jalen is 100% and he is that dynamic weapon in the run game because that creates.
Well, and that makes sense. What he just said, I think that what Jalen does with the skill set of being able to run the football and be an aggressive runner as well as an effective one on the ground helps out so much for the ground game. Which is why I think the Eagles are getting away from running the football when they should, because teams are able to key and see what they're trying to do. You know, I think that's the beauty of having Jalen Hurts as a quarterback in Philadelphia is that it opens up the RPO game. And you notice early on the threat of him running the football is why DeAndre Swift was able to go off, which is why you had a lot of safeties playing in the box trying to make sure that whoever was going to get the ball, they were going to be there. But, oh, Jalen Hurts can throw over the top of him, you know, and it helps out so much with the quick game as well.
Your offense on the outside and your one-on-ones, clearly Jalen isn't comfortable reading through a defense in a drop-back pass scenario.
So that's the part that I think that pissed a lot of people off. And what's funny when I watch this clip is you got a guy in Michael Robinson. So if you guys don't know who Michael Robinson is, he was a former NFL player, Pro Bowl for running back. I believe he was moved to fullback, but he was a Pro Bowl fullback for the Seattle Seahawks. But before that, Michael Robinson was also the quarterback for the Penn State Nittany Lions back in like the early 2000s, I think, or maybe like the mid 2000s. And he was good, man. He was solid. He reminds me a lot of Jalen Hurts. Same height, same weight, everything. I mean, they were damn near identical, you know, as far as I wouldn't say playing style, but I think Jalen was a much more polished passer. And what's funny is that this comment has a lot of people up in arms. I mean, David Carr saying that Jalen Hurts isn't comfortable with reading the defense in a drop back, you know, scenario. But there are like over 144 clips of Jalen Hurts dropping back and delivering deep balls and delivering deep shots down the field. And he's also good in the quick game. He's good at intermediate routes as well with throwing. So, you know, a lot of people took that as like, well, is David Carr being racist? Or I wouldn't say that. And for a guy who was a professional who kind of sort of understands progression, I would like to think that he knows what he's talking about, but I just don't agree with what he said. When Jalen Hurts can, in fact, pass the football, and he does a really good job of it.
Some would say he's not even good at it. And I think that when you look at this team, you have to have a serious conversation if you're Philly. And you have to really say, is it better for us to play Marcus Mariota right now?
And that's the part that that truly angered a lot of Eagles fans. No, they should not play Marcus Mariota because he's not fit. The offense isn't tailor-made for him. You know, Mariota isn't a better passer than Jalen Hurts. I don't even think for his career. I think for his career, Marcus Mariota might be somewhere under 63% like efficiency. I could be wrong, but I don't have the stats. But he's not a better passer than Jalen. And for as great of a quarterback as he was in college, man, he had a lot of promise coming out of Oregon. I mean, the guy just he just panned out, man. Like we're talking, this is the same guy. Like let's just be real here for a second. This is the same Marcus Mariota that was benched last year and as a starter for the Falcons. He was a bridge guy. He was benched last year for Desmond Ridder. And Desmond Ridder was not ready to play. Okay, so, you know, he's a fine backup, but he's not going to win you games if you're starting. That's number one. Number two, the Eagles are 10-3 right now. Oh, sorry, 10-2. They're 10-2. The Eagles are 10-2 with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And I believe Jalen's record in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, is 27-3, right? So clearly, like, benching him isn't going to help. It's just not. But it's just when he made that comment, I'm just like, dude, no. No, there's no reason to bench him.
And let Jalen get fully healthy. Because I would argue that it does not matter if you're the number one seed. Because if the 49ers come into Philly again, they do not care. They do not care. If raining in Philly, doesn't matter. But irrelevant.
You're the coach. You're Nick Sirianni. You go up to Jalen Hurts. He's like, dude, I can play, coach. Conversation. I can play.
No, it's not an easy conversation. If Nick Sirianni goes in there into the locker room, or he calls Jalen into his office and he says, Jalen, you're the quarterback that we paid, you know, over $255 million. We paid you this year. We're going to bench you. Do you not understand what that is going to do not only to the locker room but to Jalen Hurts? Like, Jalen really might slap the shit out of somebody, man. Like, he really might. So, if you want to divide the locker room, because here's the thing. He's not playing bad. But one of the funny things that I noticed is that Zach Wilson, right, no one called for Zach. Well, let me take that back. The calling on me in the media for Zach Wilson to be benched hasn't happened. Josh Allen, who has won six games this season and lost six games this season, he leads the league in interceptions. He hasn't been called to be benched. Patrick Mahomes, and I'm being facetious here, Pat Mahomes is like, he's thrown 10 interceptions. His team has won less games. He hasn't been called to be benched. He's thrown an interception every game, sometimes two. In a game, he hasn't been called to be benched yet. So why should Jalen Hurts need to? And that's how I know it's not a race thing, because he never said anything about Pat Mahomes. I really think that the media has a Chiefs bias, if you ask me. There's a Chiefs bias in where Mahomes, the safety valve that he has is, well, he has no receivers. That's what they're going to say. You know, they never get the benefit. Dak Prescott. Loses games, but he's praised for losing games because he puts up big numbers. Nobody's called for him to be benched, though. It's funny.
How are you going to tell me after I just got paid, we do all this stuff, I'm in the MVP running, we just had a board up there.
Exactly. How do you tell him that? He's an MVP candidate this year. How do you tell an MVP candidate, your team is 10-2, how do you tell him, we're going to have to bench you for Marcus Mariota? That would not go over well.
MVP odds, and now you're going to telling me to sit. Big picture, brother. Like, if you're Nick Sirianni.
Well, there is no big picture. Big picture, but on a small canvas, David Carr.
This is the type of decision and conversation you have to have if you have a big picture mentality. And I think you can have that conversation, honestly, with Jalen.
No, it isn't. You can have that conversation if you want to, but he's going to smack the shit out of you.
If you set him down, that's all Jalen talks about. Is the end result and getting to the Super Bowl and winning that thing.
So David Carr really thinks that benching Jalen Hurts for Marcus Mariota is the solution and that's going to help them get to the Super Bowl. See, the issue isn't Jalen's health. I think Jalen Hurts is fine. Everybody's injured this year. Everybody is hurt. The issue isn't Jalen, man. I really think that, unfortunately, the coordinators are a little behind right now. I will say that. But Hurts is not the reason why they're losing football games. He's actually the reason why they are winning football games. Because I'll tell you what, Mariota doesn't win that game in Kansas City. He doesn't win the game in Buffalo. He doesn't win against Dallas and Philadelphia. He doesn't win that game against Miami. So you take that away. What is that? That's six? Yeah, the Eagles would be six. They'd be 6-6 right now. Fucking with Marcus Mariota, dude. So I don't know how you see that. Again, nice guy. But he's not going to cut it.
The best way we can do it, they didn't run the football at all with him. Twice? That's not it, man. That's not the winning edge. Put Marcus in there. Win a couple games.
Yeah. You won't win a couple games. You are not going to win a couple games with Marcus Mariota. It's not that simple. They think that the Eagles are just some, and I had a conversation with somebody about this the other day, and I might briefly touch on this a little bit, but like Jalen Hurts is the system. He is the system for Philadelphia. Everyone's talking as if the Eagles have some type of like their offense and the team in general, but they're talking as if like because he has AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, the offensive line, DeAndre, you know what I'm saying? DeAndre Swift. They're making it seem as though, well, you know, we could take out Jalen Hurts and it should be the same result, if not a better result for Marcus Mariota. I learned that last year when Jalen Hurts was out for 2 weeks, the Eagles were 0-2 with Gardner Minshew. And Gardner Minshew plays with a lot of heart, but he ain't it. Marcus Mariota, although he's a wonderful athlete, he's not cut out for this. So everyone's talking about how, oh, you know, Jalen's on a stacked team. I mean, yeah, he is the team. He makes the team go. That's what I try to tell my homeboy Joe. I try to tell him, I'm like, dude, like Jalen Hurts, like, I mean, he's surrounded by talent, but it's talent that's vital to his skill set and what he likes to do, how he's passing the football. And the players know that. He has a C on his chest for a reason.
Maybe you have the number one seed still. You might have it. I'd say he's probably better playing quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh! Right now, he would be more productive. Hey,
that is some bullshit. That is some bullshit. He would not be the better quarterback. He must not have saw what he did in the preseason. That's my guess. He probably didn't see what the hell I saw. Because no. He was out there getting harassed, chased around, throwing interceptions to third string dudes and motherfuckers who aren't even on the team anymore. So what the hell you think he's going to do against San Francisco? He will fold like an omelet, dude. They better stick with Jalen, and I know they're going to stick with Jalen. But nah. No. David Carr, I don't know what the hate is. And that's another thing. I don't know what the hate is with Jalen Hurts, dude. What is it, man? Is it because he's very placid in his interviews? Is it his swagger? Is it how he carries himself as a black man? I don't want to make this into a race thing, man, but like we kind of have to like have that discussion now. We do.
I didn't say that, Philly. I didn't say that, Philly. I know what time it is. I didn't say that. He said that.
Yeah. No. Fuck what David Carr is talking about. No. If the Eagles want to win, keep Jalen Hurts in. I know that they're not able to run as many QB design runs and stuff like that, but you know what? He's an efficient passer. He's a candidate for the MVP, although they so badly want to give this MVP to Dak. I know they want to give it to Dak this year. And you know what? Dak might get it. He'll get it, but he won't get a Super Bowl. I can promise you that. I seen Colin Cowherd talking about how Dak is having that Matt Ryan, Cam Newton MVP where the things just start to click. Look, they'll click until the lights are turned off, okay? They will click until the lights are turned off. Dak Prescott is not going to see a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. I just don't. I'd be shocked. And I like the brother Dak. I like him a lot. But nah, that ain't going to cut it. But again, what's up with all the hate, man? What's up with all the hate? Josh Allen has leads the league with 13 interceptions. Pat Mahomes has 10 interceptions. No one's calling for him to be benched. Zach Wilson. No one's called for him to be benched. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a matter of fact, they're begging him to play now in New York. No one talk again, man. I just think I think that everyone hates Philly, and I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm not a Philly against the world type guy, but it's pretty evident that like they don't fuck with Jalen Hurts, and that's okay, because I do. Fly Eagles, fly.